All right. Well, we are actually going to continue on with the sermon series, a shorter little sermon series that we started last week over Luke chapter 14. Now, have you ever been, this is going to be kind of a weird question, but have you ever been invited anywhere really fancy where there's going to be a lot of important people there? Yeah, some of you are going, I've experienced that. Some of you are going, I kind of haven't. You know, one of those places where if you're like my wife, you tell me, okay, put your hands in your pockets because there's breakable things and we don't want you to touch anything, right? So I walk around like this, just flapping my arms, you know, right? Like, I'm a good Baptist, right? This is how we worship, you know. We don't raise our hands and worship because we're uncomfortable with that. So we just flap our arms a little bit, do the little chicken wing when we get into it, right? But I mean, I think about this here for a minute. We met with some family yesterday for Mother's Day, and it's one of these things where I'm going, okay, do I just wear jeans and a t-shirt? Do I wear a pair of shorts? Do I dress up a little bit, right? I want you to think about all this stuff. If somebody invites you to meal to their house, you start thinking, okay, what's expected of me? What should I be doing? What should I be saying? How should I show up for that occasion, right? How do we deal with all of those things, right? Now, where we were last week, we were in Luke chapter 14, and we see that Jesus has been invited over to this dinner that's going on. And actually, I just want to go back to verse 1 of chapter 14. It says, "One Sabbath, when he went in to eat at the house of one of the leading Pharisees, they were watching him closely." All right. Now, we saw last week that it's a Sabbath day. He's at the house of one of the leading Pharisees. And notice that Jesus is on stage even without meaning to be, because they are closely watching what he's going to do. Where we were last week is we actually saw the pride of the people that were there, the pride of the Pharisees, the pride of other guests, that they totally even ignored this mission opportunity. They cared more about following what they considered was what they were supposed to be doing than reaching out to this person who was hurting and in need of care. Then we get to where we're going to be today. So let's start reading. We're actually going to start reading here in let's start reading in verse 12. Okay. "He also said to the one who had invited him," Jesus talking about here, verse 12 says, "Jesus also said to the one who had invited him, 'When you give a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back and you would be repaid. On the contrary, when you host a banquet, invite those who are poor, maimed, lame, or blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.' When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God.' And Jesus told him, 'A man was giving a large banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who were invited, "Come, because everything is now ready." But without exception, they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'Well, I bought a field and I must go out and see it. I ask you to excuse me.' Another said, 'Well, I have bought five yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me.' And another said, 'I just got married and therefore I'm unable to come.' So the servant came back and reported these things to his master. Then in anger, the master of the house told his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and into the alleys of the city, and bring in here the poor, maimed, blind, and lame.' 'Master,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, and there's still room.' Then the master told the servant, 'Go out into the highway, the hedges, and make them come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you that not one of those people who are invited will enjoy my banquet.'" All right, now, we've got a lot going on here in all this entire passage. And I just picture this here for a minute, okay? Because I think this is such a huge thing. Jesus, the previous week, he's healed this guy that had this disease that it was called dropsy in the Bible. It's known as edema today with the swelling. And Jesus heals this man. And then they're all going, "Well, you can't do that on the Sabbath," right? Because and now Jesus pulls aside the host. He starts talking to the host. And did you catch what he told him? He said, "When you're invited by someone to a..." Oh, I'm sorry, let me, I'm reading the wrong verse. Verse 12. He says, "When you give a lunch or a dinner..." Now, notice here for a minute. What does he say? When you give a lunch or a dinner, when you're inviting people over. And notice what he said. All right, he says, "Don't invite your friends, your brothers, or your sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors, because they might invite you back and you would be repaid. Now, I want to kind of look through the cracks here. I want to kind of see what's going on. Now, Jesus here, he's at this dinner, he's at this meal with the Pharisees and with one of the leading Pharisees. And what would happen is a lot of times people would invite the important people. They would invite people that would scratch their back as well, right? Scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. You've heard of that phrase and all that kind of thing. This is kind of what's going on. Jesus tells the host, just the host, but we do know that other people are eavesdropping here because we see someone don't respond to that in a minute. But he goes, look, instead of invite your family, instead of invite your friends, instead of inviting the rich people that you want to get something out of, I want you to, instead, what you should do is you should invite these four groups. And notice what he said there, those groups. You're the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And notice here, verse 14, Jesus says that the payoff is huge. He says that the payoff is, hey, you're going to be rewarded the other side of heaven, but it's more than just that. You're actually blessed right now through that. Y'all, there's something that I think we need to learn from all of this. I think God sometimes calls us to leave our comfort zone. And it is so easy to spend our life right there in our comfort zone, isn't it? If you're inviting people over, you want to invite people that you know. You want to invite people that feel the same as you, or you want to invite people that you feel like you can get something out of it. And that's typically kind of what was going on here. So Jesus tells the host, he goes, listen, I appreciate the invite. I appreciate what you've done. I appreciate all the people that you've got around here. But man, the next time you have a lunch or a dinner, why don't you invite the poor, the maimed, the blind, the lame, right? Can you picture this? Jesus is, I don't think anyone has ever said, you know what this party needs? This party could really just be huge and be so much more fun if we had a whole bunch of maimed and blind and people like that around here, right? Now, I love this picture here because there is just something about leaving our comfort zone that is so important to our faith. These guys were where they wanted to be. They were comfortable. And now they've just seen this thing that's made them a little bit uncomfortable as Jesus healed someone and he kind of ripped into him a little bit and about how they just totally had it wrong and they were putting their animals and their rules in front of lives and people that God loves so much. And now he tells the host, he goes, look, you need to leave your comfort zone. You need to start inviting people that you normally wouldn't invite to lunch. Right? I love these two verses that you actually find in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12 verses 2 and 3 says, many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to eternal life and some to disgrace and eternal contempt. But listen to verse 3. He says, those who have insight will shine like the bright expanse of the heavens, and those will lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I love that verse here from it. Because y'all, I love this picture because there's just something about our comfort zone where we like being there. But when you leave it, you're going to shine like stars. God can use you in such a huge way when you leave your comfort zone. So here you have these prideful people that have been sitting around and they've been arguing. They've been trying to take the place of honor. We see that Jesus was probably standing back and he saw him trying to take the place of honor at this dinner table. And he says, hey, you need to take the last place instead of the front place. You know, now he is told the host, hey, you know what? You've done this totally wrong. You guys want to talk about the most awkward dinner party ever right here? Because here it's the midst of a Sabbath and things have gotten real tense. All right. It has become tension-filled from the moment Jesus first walked in, because you know from the moment he walked in, they were watching him like a hawk. And they're going, let's see what he's going to do here. They've invited him for dinner, probably just so they can catch him do something like what he actually did, which is heal someone. Probably some sort of a trap here for a minute. That tension escalates a little bit when he actually does heal the guy. That tension then escalates even further when he goes, why do you guys care more about this than you actually do the lives and the people that God loves? And now it escalates up a little bit further when Jesus pretty much berates the owner of the house, the owner that was throwing this party, and said, man, you invited all the wrong people to this thing. In truth, everyone in the room has been deliberately insulted by Jesus, right? Awkward party, right? I have a feeling, you ever have those kind of awkward parties that everyone's just kind of eating their food and going, this is weird, this is awkward, right? If you haven't had one of those, I'll invite you over sometime. We'll make sure it's an awkward experience for you. So that way, you know. But I kind of picture everyone kind of seated around the table and everyone scared to say anything because, you know, Jesus has been, he's been raking us over the coals about all this stuff. So it's probably a little bit quiet. It's probably a little bit silent here because Jesus has just insulted everyone for good reason. You know, so there's probably while they're doing that, then this one guest who's probably a little bit uncomfortable with silence. You know those people, do you ever just say something just to break the silence and then you go, why did I say that? Am I the only one with that verbal diarrhea problem, right? It just comes out, you know, right? Now, I love this picture because there's this one guy that overhears what Jesus says to the host. And he means well. I think he's trying to break the tension. I think he's trying to kind of create some common ground. And he says this in verse 15. Did you kind of catch this? And I really think he means well. But notice what he says. He says, blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the middle of all of this, I think that this guy who's trying to resolve the tension a little bit has ended up just ratcheting it up without realizing it. Right? Because here's the thing I want you to catch from it. Pride tends to make you want to look for the things that mean the best to you, right? Pride wants you to look right here, wants you to look at yourself. It's about, okay, we're having this party. Let's invite friends. Let's invite people that can help me out. Let's invite people that I am comfortable with. And Jesus has said you need to leave your comfort zone. And now this guy says, oh man, think about how blessed everyone is who eats the bread in the kingdom of heaven. And now Jesus is about to tell a story that's about recognizing your own excuses, right? Recognizing how your pride works, recognizing how all of that works. And we need to recognize our excuses. But so Jesus tells the story about this guy that's throwing a party. And when it's time for the party to happen, the dinner guests start making excuses and they don't come. All right. So we need to back up here for a minute because I want you to understand that in Jesus's day, what happened is you would invite guests to a dinner. You'd tell them the day it was going to be, but you wouldn't exactly set a time. For one, they didn't really carry around watches and go, oh, it's 11:20 exactly. You know, it's time for me to show up on this exact minute. Part of it as well, too, if you ever have a Thanksgiving meal that just ends up being 2 hours later than you had planned for it to be, right? Man, I love smoking meats, right? Briskets and pork and all that kind of stuff. I've learned you can't decide when it's going to be done. It decides when it's going to be done, right? So typically, the way that things work in Jesus' day is you would actually invite people and they'd say, yeah, I'm going to come. So that way you know how many animals you need to prepare, how much food you need to prepare. And then when it was time, the host would send the servants out who would tell them, okay, it's time. It's time to come. The food's ready. The banquet's ready. Come on. You actually see this happen in the book of Esther, right? In chapter 5, Esther plans this banquet. She invites the king and Haman and says, hey, will you come to this feast that I'm preparing tomorrow? They both say, yes, they're going to come. The very next day, Haman is meeting with his wife and he's meeting with some advisors when the servants actually show up and say, okay, it's time. We have to go now because it's time for the banquet. And Haman actually ends up having to leave, right? This was what would go on. So here, I want you to catch this here for a minute. Because what you see happen, in other words, what's going on here in this story, this parable that Jesus is telling, the guests had already said that they would be there for the banquet, right? They had already said, we will be there. But then when it was time to actually put your feet on the ground and actually be there, it's not just words anymore, they started making excuses. And honestly, their excuses are pretty good. I think they're going, these aren't excuses, these are reasons. These are reasons why we actually can't be there. Notice the first one, all right? A guy actually says that I've purchased a field. He hasn't even seen this field. He goes, I need to go inspect this field. I just made this big purchase. I need to go see all that, right? What is it that he's concerned about here? It's his stuff, right? I kind of get that. I don't know if you guys are like me, but if you know that a package is coming by the post office, you will stand at your front door for like an hour and wait for him to come up. Right? And it's like the longest hour in the world, right? So you can get your $10 Amazon item. And you're like, it's here. We're so excited, right? You remember that? I remember being in college talking about the college things. Mail day was, you know, you would go check your mail every day. And when there was, it doesn't even matter if it's junk mail. When you got mail, you're like, whoa, mail! Yes! Right? I want you to catch this here for a minute. This guy, he's got this purchase that he has made. And he goes, I want to, man, I can't wait. I need to go see it. I'm excited about it.
He's excited about this thing that he has going on, and he wants to go witness it. He wants to go see it. The second guy, notice he says, I have 5 yoke of oxen. That's 10 oxen, right? Because there'd be 2 on each yoke. And he goes, I have 5 yoke of oxen. I have these 10 oxen. I need to go a field with them. I need to do all this. What's getting in the way there? Is it his possessions? No, it's his job, right? This guy is going, man, I would love to come, but my job right now is taking priority. Please excuse me. I'm so sorry. Please excuse me. And notice both of these first two guys actually asked to be excused. The third guy goes, well, I just got married, so I'm not coming. He doesn't even ask to be excused. He goes, I just got married, therefore I'm unable to come. And part of me goes, well, you knew you had just gotten married when you accepted the invite, right? But I don't want to, I'm not, please understand, I'm not about making excuses about this excuse. That's kind of funny to think about. But truly, I mean, even in the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about when someone gets married, they need to have a year off from all of these responsibilities and different things. I mean, this is a good thing to get married, and the Bible sure believes in all that sort of thing. But I want you to catch here for a minute. This isn't about what is good, right? 99% of what we do to justify our own actions are what we think is best for us, isn't it? Right? We look at what is best and what is good. And I want you to catch the point of this entire parable that Jesus is sharing here, is it's not about your good excuses. They shouldn't keep you from the best thing, right? These are good excuses. They would call them good reasons, but Jesus is actually calling them excuses here. And he's saying, look, those things are not bad in and of themselves. They're not bad, but they become bad when they make you settle for second best because you miss out on what is best. Right? You kind of catch this here for a minute? Because this is what pride works in our lives, doesn't it? Pride says, okay, well, I need this, and so this is what I'm going to focus on. And meanwhile, God's going, no, hey, if you'll just make that secondary, look at what I've got for you over here. Because we're so caught up right here in this moment, we're going, oh, but it's here, it's this, it's all that. Now, sometimes we need to recognize that we have excuses that are keeping us from being in the will of God. And those excuses, those can be great things. But the second place is still second place, right? And what had happened was they had missed where they really needed to be because they were settling for something that they probably shouldn't have settled for. Those good things were keeping them from enjoying the best things. When that happens, those good things are really, truly bad things for us, right? Those excuse makers actually end up making people think things differently. I'm a little out of order here. Let me go to the previous screen. Remember this verse we actually looked at last week? I want you to remind you of this verse from Proverbs here. Proverbs 29:23 said, a person's pride will humble him, but a humble spirit will gain honor, right? So here we've got this party where Jesus has just kind of just called out everyone's pride, called out all that kind of thing here. And this guy just blurts out, hey, how awesome would it be to have this bread in the kingdom of heaven? I mean, how awesome is that going to be? And now Jesus is going, look, here's the thing. Some of you are going to miss it because you're so focused on what you think you need instead of on what I am offering. You're missing out on the party. You're missing out on the dinner. You're missing out on all of those things because you're so caught up in those things that you think you're supposed to be focused on, right? And so we see this correlation between, okay, you've got to leave your comfort zone, but then you also need to recognize your excuses. And you don't let being comfortable, and you don't let your excuses get in the way of what God really truly wants to do. I love where the story ends, this little parable here for a minute. Because what happens is all the outcasts, all the people that normally wouldn't be invited to a big fancy dinner party at the lead Pharisee's house, one of the leading Pharisees' house, that Jesus tells a story about how those outcasts, those people that would get looked down on, that they actually get a seat at the table. Did you catch the rest of the story here? Because notice what happens. All right, so these three people in the story, in the parable there, they make the excuse. So the servant, verse 23, reports to the master and reported these things. Then in anger, the master told a servant, go out quickly into the streets and in the alleys of the city. Bring in here the poor, maimed, blind, and lame. Notice where he sent them out, first of all, right? To the streets and the alleys. Then there's still room. So you actually get to verse 23, And then the master tells the servant, then go out into the highways and the hedges and make them come in so that my house may be filled. Right? Now, I want you to see this here for a minute. Notice how encouraging this is. Y'all, I don't care how messed up you think you are. I don't care how unused by God you think you are. I don't care if you ever go, okay, God, you could never use me. God is going, no, you've got a seat at the table. Because I want you to see here for a minute. Is it their position that deserves that seat at the table? No, it's the grace and the love of the person throwing the party, throwing the dinner. And this is Jesus' whole point. And I love this picture because notice these groups of people that he calls out. First of all, the poor, right? Notice the same little group of four right there, the poor, maimed, blind, and lame. These are the same ones, the same four grouping that Jesus told the head of the party, the guy that was throwing the dinner. He said, these are the people you should be inviting. And I love how Jesus points these out because the first one's the poor, right? I love this amazing, incredible picture of God because the poor are someone who can't ever pay the guy back, right? There's someone that can't ever offer a meal. They can't ever offer him a dinner and go, okay, well, I came over to your house. Now come over to mine and I'm going to do the same thing for you. The poor aren't able to do that. What an incredible picture of the grace and love of God, right? He reaches down to men who would never be able to repay him for our salvation. The truth is, you know why we call it being saved? You know why we call what, when we accept Jesus in our life and we ask him to forgive us of our sins and we recognize that Jesus died on a cross and he rose again from the grave? When we ask him into our life, we call that saved. Do you know why we call that saved? Because you can't do it yourself, right? By definition, saved means that someone had to do something to take care of that, right? This is what that picture is. And I love this picture, men who could never pay back salvation, men who could never do that, men and women who could never do that. Jesus saves them, and yet God isn't asking for payment. All he says is, I just want you to come and be here at the party, be here at the dinner, just be with me. He's not asking for anything else other than your presence, a relationship of a friendship. You kind of catch that? Then the second one, the maimed, right? This would be the deformed, those that are twisted, those that society feels uncomfortable around, right? Honestly, where I picture our modern-day equivalent, if I want to put it in these terms, I think of someone with, like, Down syndrome. I think it's someone who's mentally unstable, right? Somebody with a little bit of a mental illness. Someone that you go, I'm just not comfortable being around them, right? But then the third one is a little bit different. You've got the blind, right? The blind are the people that are trapped in their own world of darkness, right? Truly. Here's the fascinating part about all this, because they're kind of unique from the poor. They're kind of unique from the maimed, because the blind can't get to the party without being led to the party, right? They need a guide. They need someone who's going to show them the way. Y'all, this is such a huge, huge thing to me. Because, you know, the servants could go and find a poor person. Hey, you know where my master's house is over there? All right, go there. There's this incredible dinner. It's going on. There's a party. You're going to have the time of your life. It's going to change your life. You need to go there. But a blind person, the servant can't go up there and go, hey, you know where my master's house is right over here? Let me take you. Let me walk you over there. Let me lead you where you need to be. I'm going to lead you to that place. You kind of catch this picture from it? Man, I love that Jesus has included the blind here. Incidentally, all these other groups, as funny as it sounds, all of these were the outcasts of society in that day and age. But every single one of them could at least have those moments where you felt normal. Those moments where you kind of feel like, okay, it feels normal. Like, for example, the poor person, when he shows up at this big fancy dinner party, do you think he's going to feel like a poor person? Do you think he's going to feel like, this is the way I've always been? Incidentally, the blind are the only ones who are going to feel that way always. There's nothing you can do to change that condition, right? I think it's just such a big deal, because a lot of times we try and cover up all of those things. We try and forget those things. We just want to take all the bad stuff and just ignore it. Well, the blind don't have that option. There's nothing you can do that would ever give you sight. You're blind, you know? Does all that make sense, right? Even
even a maimed person, even a deformed person can feel like a normal person from time to time. You can do activities, you can do things just like everyone else does. But the blind, it's a little bit different. And then you actually have the last little group. And similar to the blind, it's someone who can't get there by themselves. It's the lame. The people that are crippled, the people that cannot actually move their own bodies to get them there. We're talking people that can't walk, maybe paraplegic, maybe quadriplegic, we're not sure, but these are people that literally require somebody not just to lead them like it is with the blind, but someone who could pick them up and carry them there. You kind of catch this picture, right? I love this picture because Jesus tells the guy that's in this party, he goes, man, I think it's great that you're doing this. This is cool. But you know, you really should invite all the people that society looks down on, all the outcasts, all the people that people want nothing to do with, the people with physical ailments, the people that are blind that need to be led, the people that are lame that need to be carried. And yet in the midst of all of this, there was still room in the house. So did you catch what Jesus says in verse 23? The master then told the servant, go out not just into the streets and the alleys, but go out where? The highways and the hedges, right? The picture here, truly, I think that the types of people that you would see that are living out on the highways, people that are living in the hedges, people that are living out in the woods, this is the homeless. This isn't people with physical deformities. This isn't people with blindness. This isn't people with some sort of mobility issue. These are people that are homeless. Different from the poor, right? Poor are one thing. Homeless is a whole other level, isn't it? These are the people that Jesus tells the servant, he's telling the story, and he tells the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and make them come in, right? I love that picture. First of all, he said, go out quickly, right? He said, you need to go out quickly. You need to go out into those places. You actually saw that in verse 21, go out quickly into the streets. There's an urgency on the role of the master, isn't there? There's an urgency that he's like, hey, man, this is going on and people are missing it. And it can be so sweet and it can be so good. So get them. I don't care who they are. And then you get to verse 23, and the master says, you need to make them. Some of your translations are going to say compel them, right? Literally, that Greek word that's being used there is a matter of force. Force them to come. Force them to be here, right? Nag them into coming so they finally just show up just to give you just to get a break from you, right? Anybody that your spouse will move to get your way? You just nag your spouse till she gives in, right? Am I the only one that does that? Just me? Okay. Y'all, you see the picture here from it. There's this incredible, at this dinner party where this guy has brought all these people that he thinks would help advance him, all these people that are his comfort zone. And then he invites Jesus, and he's got his cronies there, and they're watching to see if Jesus is going to do anything uncomfortable. And Jesus, being Jesus, does. Not because he does uncomfortable things, but because Jesus is so loving and so grace-filled, it makes us all uncomfortable when we see someone act that way. And then he does, and then he talks to the host, and he goes, hey, man, I appreciate you having me over for dinner, and this is great, but, man, why don't you invite people like this to dinner? And it's awkward, and it's uncomfortable. But there's something here that I think we need to catch. Guys, your faith is not meant to be grown inside of your comfort zone. Your faith cannot grow inside of your comfort zone. You're going to see that's our thought of the week, right? Your faith isn't going to grow if you're comfortable. Your faith will grow in those moments when you're uncomfortable. And how do you make yourself uncomfortable? Well, you stop giving all your excuses. You stop telling God, well, God, I would do that, but... And God, I know that I'm supposed to be doing this, but it's just... And God, I'm just not going to do it, right? John, we need to leave our comfort zone. We need to stop giving God all of our excuses, start giving God our best, because ironically, the people are missing out on the greatest thing because they're focused on secondary things. It's time for us to quit doing that. But it's also time for us to recognize that this is what salvation looks like. Not a single one of us deserve a seat at the table. And it doesn't matter if you're poor or you're maimed or you're blind or you're lame or you're homeless. It doesn't matter who you are.
there is a seat at the table for you because it's not about your worthiness at all. It's about what God has done. It's about what Jesus has done. You know, we need this sense of urgency to go quickly out into the streets, to just not give up, to keep just hound people. We need that kind of urgency in our lives. And here at this, probably one of the most awkward dinners I think you see in all of Scripture, you see the heart of Jesus in such a huge way that goes, look, it's not about your pride, but it's about Jesus. It's about God and how He loves you so much. And Jesus is this walking, talking example of that. Not long from this point, these people are going to see that in action as they see Jesus die on a painful death on a cross. As He's going to rise again from the grave. And He does all of that so people could have this restored relationship with God. And there is nothing you can do to make yourself worthy of that. It's God who says, hey, you're worthy. So I want you to know, this is encouraging because it doesn't matter who you are. Jesus loves you so much. And He goes, I want to use you this week. I want to use you to touch someone else's life. I want to use you to show love to someone. I want to use you to bring in the outcast, to give them a seat at the table. I want to use you to do amazing things this week. So it's time for us to stop giving God all of our excuses, and it's time for us to sometimes leave our comfort zone. I love asking this question every once in a while, just not of me usually, but when was the last time God made you uncomfortable, right? When was the last time God called you to do something that made you even slightly uncomfortable? And y'all, some of you are here today. Your being here today was uncomfortable. But yet God is honored in all of those things, right? But if you go through a week, if you go through a month and you go, God, you haven't made me uncomfortable this week, or I haven't done anything that feels uncomfortable this month, you're probably out of the will of God. Because God uses your discomfort in huge, huge, huge ways. So y'all, let's stop giving God our excuses. Let's leave our comfort zones when He calls us to do that. Let's let this world know that God loves them so much. They've got a seat at the table in heaven, and all they have to do is just show up and have that relationship with the host who's throwing the party. Let's share that message with someone this week. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much for how You work. We thank You so much for this awkward and uncomfortable dinner party where we see Jesus just really, truly remind us of what faith really is. Reminds us of what love really is. Reminds us of what a life showing that love to this world. Reminds us of what faith will ask of us. So Father, help us to be Your people this week. Help us to live our lives where there's no doubt we are loving people. We are there for the outcast. We are outside of our comfort zone. We're not laying any excuses out. We are just being unapologetically Yours. So use us this week to do amazing things. Use us to give smiles to people. Use us to give encouragement to people. Use us to speak Your truth to people too, to speak what the truth is. There's no such thing as Your truth. There's only the truth, and it is Your truth. So use us this week to touch hearts and to touch lives. For it's Your name we pray. Amen.